It's the power of the Christmas story, right? We get into this season, and it's like so often we get sucked up into the hustle and bustle, and this year is a different kind of Christmas, isn't it? And I want us to understand that Christmas isn't canceled. Amen? It wasn't canceled. It isn't canceled. And here at New Hope Church, we're not canceling Christmas or anything else. Because we are here this morning, and this year I only get two chances to do a Christmas sermon, all right? So this is the only Sunday that I'm preaching a Christmas sermon, and then Christmas Eve is going to be really awesome, okay? Christmas Eve, we are doing a 5 p.m. and a 7 p.m. this coming Thursday, and it's a family gathering. The whole family comes. We do special things with the kids. They get to sing, and Grandma Lois comes up, reads a book. It's going to be I just love that. It's something traditional that we started years ago, and we don't have a lot of traditions here at New Hope, but that is one of them that we really enjoy. We want to celebrate Christmas together. And I love it when I'm out and about and shopping, and somebody might just say Happy Holidays, and I stop and I say, you know what, Merry Christmas. And it's cool to see the response, because the majority of the time they say, yes, Merry Christmas. And I'm like, for me, I want to talk this morning and get into the Word in Matthew chapter 2 in just a minute, okay? So if you have your Bibles, you can pull out your Bibles right now, or the app on your phone if you use the Bible app on your phone, and turn to Matthew chapter 2, okay? We're going to get there in just a couple of minutes as we're talking about this. Now, we just finished up a series called Kingdom Prayer, where we talked about the Lord's Prayer, and we dug into it, and I loved the way we did it. You got to hear a bunch of different voices in the sermons. I call it, you're eating from a different buffet, right? And that's what each Sunday, you should be ready to hear something new from God, even from a new person, that you're ready and prepared, because it doesn't have to do with like one person on the stage saying something. Like, it has to do with the Holy Spirit working and speaking to you, right? That's what church is about. Community together, family together, and God's Word being taught. No matter who brings that word. And so it was such a good series. We ended last week with Tony, and actually my message is flowing right after Tony's message, where he ended the Lord's Prayer talking about lead us not in temptation, right? Like, the Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This word deliver us, we just sang it just a couple minutes ago. That's part of the Christmas story. And it's interesting that Jesus was telling us to pray before he ever did the things he was going to do to finish it, right? To deliver us. And so he was giving us a prophecy of what he was going to do, but he had to be born, and so that's what we celebrate at Christmas. It's Jesus' birthday. Woohoo! Right? Our family has a tradition that each Christmas we bake a birthday cake for Jesus. That's a part of our Christmas experience. And so Christmas Day, we sing Happy Birthday to Jesus, and we blow out his candle. I've prayed he would blow it out before, and it hasn't happened yet. But I don't know if he's as much into his birthday as we are here on this planet when we celebrate Christmas. But I think he's more into what he did on Easter. But nonetheless, we're grateful that a Savior's been brought to us, right? Now, 2020, woo! Who's ready for it to come to an end? Okay, I've got bad news. 2021 is the same thing as 2020. It's just a day later, okay? I'll talk about that in a minute. Thanks for stirring on that, too, right? Like, who would have thought in 2020? Who would have thought, like, before? You know, before, if you wanted to go rob a bank, you had to go get a mask and put it on and go into the bank, right? And now you cannot even go into a bank without a mask. This is a different season, right? Who would have thought that the normal would have been to compliment somebody on their mask, right? Oh, that's a nice mask. Like, maybe on Halloween, right? And that was it. Like, but it's become a norm for us, you know? Who would have thought that toilet... I always say that. Nikki rags on. I say toilet. Jeez, it's not toilet. It's toilet. There's an I in there, all right? But who would have thought that toilet paper would have become currency outside of the prison system, right? Like that it has become such a thing, you know, I got some cigarettes, give me some toilet paper, you know, kind of a thing. And, you know, 2020 has been really, really, really weird. Who thought that when you hear somebody cough or you cough, it would increase your prayer life, right? It's like, oh, dear Jesus, don't let me get whatever he has or whatever they have. Or like, it's just been a weird, weird year, with all sorts of things that have become normal for us that we never thought would ever be normal in any of our lives, right? And yet, here we are, you know, here we are at the end of this interesting, crazy year. 2020, for me, I was thinking about it as the year of cancellation, right? So many things got canceled in 2020. So many things got canceled. I was doing some research online and how many sporting events and concerts. The whole concert arena, like all these musicians that were planning world tours and all this. I forget the list. I saw the list, and I don't know how many billions of dollars, right, that they lost because all their concerts got canceled, you know? How many sporting events got canceled? And then when they finally came back, very limited, right, in viewership and being able to be there in person. So the Summer Olympics got canceled. I don't know the last time that ever happened, you know? So the Summer Olympics are going to be a year off. I don't know what they're doing after that, if they're going every three. So you have all these athletes that were preparing for 4 years to get to that, right? And it's like, well, you got to keep eating healthy and keep exercising one more year, you know? It's like, I've been working so hard, you know? Canceled. It's been canceled. Movies and movie theaters been closed and canceled. How many of you missed that? I'm just curious. How many of you guys really have missed? Some of you are movie buffs, and maybe some of you, that is your weekend experience. It's like, we're going to go see a movie. And it's like, it got canceled. You couldn't go to the movie theaters all the time. Travel for a lot of people, canceled, right? Family gatherings, that's probably been a hard one for some people. Not being able to see people that you normally see at certain times of year. And so that can even bring sadness. Things have been canceled, right? Church services all across the country have been canceled. Actually, there's still a lot of churches that haven't reopened. I'm telling you, you guys are lucky. You're lucky that you have a church and a pastor that said, we're going to do whatever it takes for us to worship, whatever that looks like, right? So, like, we've gotten crazy creative on all the things we've done. We climbed on the roof of a school. Do you guys remember that? Like, we were on the roof and, like, 50 degrees. It was freezing because we love you guys, all right? That's why we did it. And we love our community and worshiping outside and indoors and back and forth and online and all these different things. But there's so many churches that have totally canceled. Actually, the stat I read a few weeks ago is that 30% of the churches that have closed during COVID won't reopen. That tells me that they were already dying. They were already dying churches, and this was the final nail in the coffin, which is unfortunate. But I also know that there have been churches that have launched during this season. I actually coach church planters, and I coach a church plant down in Powell, Ohio, and they launched a brand new church in this COVID. I'm like, I've never coached somebody through that. You know, how are we going to do this together? And yet their church is thriving. But it's the year of cancellation. So many things have been canceled. And but my question for us personally, has this year for you personally, has it canceled your peace? Has it canceled your joy? Has it canceled your hope? That's the real issue. Because when it comes down to it, all of us have experienced this year relationally. We've experienced it emotionally. We've experienced it spiritually. Like, you've experienced it with all of who you are. And we don't want to allow the enemy to cancel the things that God has promised us, right? That's why this is called Christmas Isn't Canceled. Because my fear is that, 2020 has been the year of the cancellation. My fear is that a lot of people are putting their hopes in 2021, right? That a lot of people are like, let's just get to the new year. Let's just get to the other side of this. And the reality is, though, if you take everything that you've already dealt with in 2020 and you don't deal with it, and you bring it to 2021, nothing's going to change in your life. It's just another year. There will be a new kind of calamity. There will be a new kind of crisis. There will be a new kind of... Why? Because this is a broken, sinful world. It may not be COVID, but it'll probably be something else. Maybe it's some other sin. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's other health issues in your life, or maybe it's divorce. Maybe, like, I hope not. I'm not saying that on you. You know, I'm not saying, like, get ready, all this crap's happening. You know, like. But the reality is, for us, I don't want us to go into 2021 with the wrong hope. Putting our hope in the wrong thing. So often we put our hope in tomorrow being better today than today. But the problem is we're alive today, right? Hopefully we'll be alive tomorrow and the next day, but I can't live tomorrow today. I can only live today, right? And so I can't, like, just put my hope in tomorrow because then I will never get it because there's always a tomorrow. If I put my hope and place it in the right place and I place it in today, I get to live today with real hope. 2021 is not our hope. Government is not our hope. The economy is not our hope. Getting back to normal is not our hope. None of those things are in any of our control. I love the message that Nikki brought to the ladies the women's Christmas event. How many ladies were there and heard that? Like, did you go back and rewatch it, right? That's that message. I'm like, guys, you missed out. Go and watch it online, because she talked about this whole idea of control, what is inside of your control and what's not in your control, right? And how to live with peace was the word for the evening. So if you want to go deeper into that, go into that. But the reality is we have an enemy, and this is where it goes back to the Lord's Prayer, in the prayer that says, God, please deliver us from the evil one, right? We have an enemy, and he has a goal, and it is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his end game for you. And the more you see his schemes, the more you see how he works, the more you can be like, no, I'm not playing that game with you, Satan. No, not going to go down that rabbit trail in my thought life, because you're kind of pointing me that direction. I don't have to go there. I don't have to live like that. Jesus says he came to give us what? Life. And give it to us to the full. So we have a pretty powerful opposition to the hopelessness, to the hurt, and to the kill, steal, and destroy thing that the enemy's trying to do in our lives. And Christmas is wrapped up in this whole thing, right? Because the angels came, and when the angels showed up, I'm just going to read this real quick in Luke chapter 2, they brought a word of hope. I mean, they brought a word to these what were they, shepherds, right, out on the side of the field. And I love that it was shepherds, because they were just average guys, working hard and stinky. Like, they weren't royalty, they weren't priests. It says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you what? Good news. This is, you guys can, when I say what, you can read along out loud with me, okay? Okay, here we go. Do not be afraid, I bring you what? Good news, right? That will cause what? Great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the, capital M, Messiah, the Lord, right? And then in verse 14 it says, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. What? Peace to those on whom his favor rests. Now, this passage right here kind of gets misquoted a lot in Christmas cards, right? It's peace on earth. And it's like, no, peace on earth for who? For those on whom his favor rests. Meaning, there will not be total peace on this planet until Jesus sets it all back to peace when he returns, okay? But we can be peace, people of peace in the midst of the crazy we live in. On those on whom his favor rests. Those who are a part of his kingdom. We get to experience this peace. So the message, the Christmas message was, you can have peace, joy, and hope. Like, you can have those things. And they're not conditional with what's going on in this world. It's very interesting. The point in history when Jesus showed up was not like a safe time to show up, right? It wasn't like, okay, everything's peaceful. The government, you know, is actually like really biblical, and they're like doing things the right way all the time. And so it's going to be a safe place for the Messiah to come into so that we can make sure he's taken care of. And like, that's not what happened. This was Roman rule. And when Roman ruled, they ruled. I mean, it was oppressive. It was controlling. It was like, we are lowercase g gods. You all do what we say, right? And so Roman authority just spread by that oppression and control and then taxation. And we see in this story, we're going to see in Matthew chapter 2, it was all about control. It's control and hierarchy, right? Like, that's what was going on in the Roman culture when Jesus showed up. There was a lot of unrest in this point of history. And the thing about this season with this Roman rule, they decided, or it was decided that they were going to do a census of all the people, because they needed to know how much taxes they can get from the people. So it's like, let's do a census and make sure we have all the households counted. And so they upset everybody by saying, go back to your hometown. If you moved out of town, like maybe you moved from this tiny town up to the city or into the burbs or, you know, wherever, like get in your SUV and drive back home, right? And get the whole family. And that's where we're going to count and make sure we know who is from where and that you are there, right? By the way, they didn't have an SUV, and they didn't live in the burbs, right? It was a little different than that. You get into the Christmas story, now you have Mary, who is pregnant outside of marriage, okay? Which, in that culture, was death. Like, she should have been stoned. Not stoned, like, yeah, man, what's going on? Like, stoned, like, I just don't know who's in the crowd, all right? So, like, when we say stone in the Old Testament, I mean, they would, like, take them out, throw stones at them, and kill them, okay? That's what that means. And so, like, she should have been killed because of that trespass. And yet Joseph chose because an angel told him to. Like, no, this is God's son. And so he took her, and talk about all the controversies wrapped around that relationship and all the family tensions. Like, they're all saying, like, she says it's from God. Like, I don't know about that. And all the gossip. I mean, none of that's easy. And then she's, like, fully ready to pop pregnant. And the census comes up, and you got to go back to Bethlehem. I mean, we got to travel like this. I don't. How many moms in the house have ever had to travel when you're, like, really pregnant, right? Like not comfortable, is it? Like, that baby's pushing on that bladder, and it's like, every 15 minutes, we got to stop. I remember we lived in Georgia, and we had to drive back and forth when Nikki was pregnant. And there was a lot of stops on that trip, you know, like, not comfortable. And we had a nice car and all that kind of stuff. Now, imagine I put you on the back of probably a donkey, and you had to travel across the desert to get from one place to another as you were very, very pregnant. Anybody up for that? While people are gossiping behind your back, I mean, just... The scene is not, and this is not a simple, like, oh, baby Jesus was born. Like, when we really look into the story, it's just messy, it's hard, it's difficult. Nothing was easy in the story. And so now they're coming to Bethlehem because the government upset everybody. Does that sound familiar? Does the government ever upset anybody? Right? Like nothing new under the sun, by the way. I always say that. History will show our future. That's just, we see it just repeats itself over and over and over again. And so Mary and Joseph go back to Bethlehem. She's very pregnant. There was no Hilton. There was no Holiday Inn, right? Like, in this small town of Bethlehem, probably, and it's hard to know. I've read different things from different scholars and theologians and historians. Like, Bethlehem was probably about 300 people. I mean, we're talking small, small town here. Everybody probably knew everybody. And so all their homes were probably full of all the other family that had to come back for the census. And so now Mary and Joseph are coming back, and that's what it says. There's no room for them there. Because I'm guessing that she had to stop and pee a lot. So she got there late, okay? That's what happened. I'm just kidding. I don't know if that's what happened, but just when they got there, and again, this is another part of the Christmas story that's like, we love the pictures that we paint that have become cultural, but they're not biblical. Probably culturally, when she showed up, these homes had a guest room in the house. And then they had a stall in the house where they'd keep the animals attached to the same house. Some think it was in a cave or that kind of thing. And so they show up. There's no room in any of these guest rooms, anybody's houses. And so they have to stay in the garage. Right? And that's the scene. Not easy. Not easy what's going on with Mary and Joseph and Jesus. But God had a plan. Talk about a humble journey, being born in that stable, being born and put in a manger, a feeding trough, right, and hanging out in the garage. Now, if it was a garage, like, I would want a garage. I mean, it would have been a cool place to, you know, have a baby, but it would have been like a classic 50s truck in the corner, and it would have been, like, clean. It would have been, like, awesome. That's what I picture with Jesus in the garage, all right? Nobody's with me on that one. Okay, I'll just keep talking. So let's get into Matthew chapter 2 then, okay? So that we understand the tension of what's going on. Because in this whole story, the enemy is at work. Satan is at work in the Christmas story. And we usually don't talk about that. We don't want to get to Christmas. We're not like, boy, watch out for Satan in the Christmas story. Ha, 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 ha. Like, we don't put that in our manger scene with Herod killing people. Like, we don't add that to the story, but it's there. And that's where we're jumping into the story. Okay, is everybody ready for this? I'm telling you, this is not a normal Christmas sermon, but you're going to be with me by the end. Matthew chapter 2 is where we're at. We're going to start in verse 1 and see what's going on in the scene. I'm going to read pretty fast as we go through the story, okay? All right, so if you're with me, say yep. Yeah. All right, are you online with me? You can type yep in the comments, and here we go. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. Now, this is an interesting phrase right there, because it's not just Herod that's disturbed, like all of Jerusalem. Like, this is God's holy city. Like, all the Jews in Jerusalem, when they started hearing this news, they were all disturbed. Like, what is happening? because, again, they have their Roman culture, then they have the Jewish culture inside of the Roman culture, and Rome is controlling the Jews, but they have their own courts and systems, and, I mean, they have their stuff figured out and how it's all going to operate. And King Herod is like, I'm king in this region, I'm king over Jerusalem, and so, like, I'm part of this religious thing, and I'm a part of Rome, and then he hears, what, a new king is being born? I don't think so. See, in this time, let me describe King Herod. I wasn't going to do it now, but I'm doing it now. All right, King Herod was a controlling king. History tells us that he was not afraid to kill who he needed to protect his own throne, including his own sons and his wife. This is Herod leading in Jerusalem, God's city, as king underneath Rome. Do you hear the tension? Like, this is messed up, what's going on in this point of history. And so these magi who God ordained to get their attention, to bring them to see Jesus, and we know it was within a couple of years, okay? So they were in Bethlehem probably longer than just like boom and then boom. Like they hung out in Bethlehem for, we know, around a year and a half, 2 years probably, because of what we're going to hear in just a second. And so these magi are traveling, and it took them forever to get there. I mean, they're on donkeys. They're not pregnant, so they shouldn't be complaining, these men, right? Like, just shut up, men. Any moms ever want to say that? Okay, I'll stop. So here's King Herod. I don't want to get in trouble here. Here's King Herod, all right? So King Herod is ruling in control. Here's about a king, and now he is disturbed. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, all the religious leaders, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Interesting question, right? It means that they were all waiting for a Messiah as the Jews. They all knew the prophecies in the Old Testament, and they were wondering how it was going to come about, but they were looking for a king to come and rule actual Jerusalem and take back over Rome and be this like political leader ruler. But that wasn't God's plan. It says, and then they tell him, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Do you see how they interpreted the prophecy? They're like, a ruler is coming. Yes, we're going to have the land back. Yes, he's going to rule on the throne. Herod won't be our king anymore. Like, this Messiah will be our king. So they have this picture. But it's not God's picture, okay? Let's keep reading. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child as soon as you find him. Report to me that I too may go and worship him. Sounds suspicious. The Magi caught on to that suspicious thought. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. I mean, they were just like pumped up. Yeah, it stopped, right? On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Now, I don't know, as a mom, would that be a weird moment? Yeah, I know there's some kids that want you to bow down to them, right, and worship them, right? Like, I don't know if you have that kid, but like, this is like for real, you know? And again, it says child at this point. We don't know, he might be a year old, you know? But having these grown men, these grown magi show up, see the child, and just get down, face down, and just worship and bow down to him. I don't even know, how do you respond to that, right? How do you respond to that? And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And there's so much prophecy attached to those gifts. I wish I could go into it. That's not the sermon today, okay? And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. See, in this Christmas story, we see so often God speaking to these individuals and these people. And he does it either with angels or in dreams and visions. God will communicate however he wants to, whenever he wants to. And I believe he still does that today, okay? That's what I see in the New Testament, that it kept happening all throughout the New Testament. And so God warned him, like, don't go back to Herod. If you go back, it's not going to be good for you, and it's not going to be good for anybody. So leave. Then an angel warns Joseph, Joseph, Herod is ticked off. You need to flee. And so at this point, Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus, they go down to Egypt. And that is a whole other prophecy. There's just prophecy all over the Christmas story, okay? Like, that prophecy was a prophecy that the Messiah would then come up out of Egypt, right? Just like God brought Israel, right, the Jews up out of Egypt, out of slavery, like the Messiah came from Egypt and came to then be the Savior for all of us, not just them. Oh, I could go on and on and on. But anyways, where am I? Joseph warned, flee to Egypt. There we go. All right, verse 16. Herod then realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, and he was what? Furious. Why? Because he had a plan. He felt like he was under attack. He felt like his throne was going to be taken, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Whoa, wait a minute. Is this a part of your guys' scene in Christmas? Right? Herod did not want Christmas to happen. Herod wanted to cancel Christmas. And I'm telling you, who is behind Herod is Satan. Satan did not want a Savior to be born. Satan did not want this Messiah to show up on the scene. Because as we learned last week with what Tony was teaching us about the whole interchange and like Satan's role and all that kind of stuff, like Satan is the prince of this world. Like, he has control of things that are happening in this world and bringing brokenness and killing and stealing and destroying. Like, he has that. And so a Messiah coming, a Savior being born, not good for Satan, right? And so he'll use whoever he wants to try to get his plan in place as well. And Herod was a part of that plan to kill Christmas. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And this is a prophecy. Rachel is the mother of Israel, right? Like, and so this is talking about Israel just weeping because their children are no more. Like, so much prophecy that I could go into and really dig into. The thing I want you to understand is that Satan is real. And just as he was trying so hard to kill Christmas, later on we see he tempted Jesus and tried to pull him from his plan, and later on he tried to screw up the whole, you know, thing at the very end of the story. Like Satan was trying to do all sorts of stuff. His doom has already been written, right? He's already done. And we just live in this in-between time. But for us personally, this is what I want us to understand, okay? That the enemy tried to cancel the first Christmas and is still trying to cancel it today. All right? The enemy tried through Herod to cancel the first Christmas. Like, and he went to pretty far extremes to do so. We don't know. Like I said, Bethlehem was a small town, probably 300. In the vicinity, different numbers. People say it might have been maybe just from like 10 kids were killed by him, or it could have been dozens. We don't know, but all I know is that he was willing to kill innocent children to get rid of this Messiah, who is the threat to Satan, and now who Jesus is sitting on the throne. He was a threat to all the earthly thrones who wanted to maintain their own control. Because one day he will rule forever. The enemy tried to cancel the first Christmas, and he's trying to cancel it today. He's still trying to cancel Christmas today. He's trying to steal Christ out of the center of Christmas, okay? Now, can I get real with you guys? I kind of already am, but I'm asking you for permission. Is it okay if I get real with you guys? Okay, Christmas was not God's idea, just so you know. Like, celebrating Christmas isn't in the Bible, okay? It's not like a biblical thing that we have to do every year in order to do this law thing. Like, Christmas is a cultural thing. that just started. And actually, it started before it was Christian. It started secular, and then the Christian said, well, we don't like that, so we're going to add Christ, and we're going to do our own thing. And so they said, well, let's just make it Jesus' birthday. And then they just started celebrating Jesus' birthday. Jesus was not born on December 25th, just so you know. It was probably more like May or March or something. And so, but there's no snow, so we can't have Christmas in May or March. Just, right? So culturally, Christmas isn't, it's just a thing that we do, okay? It's not biblical. We're not told to do it. I think remembering that Christ was born and the way he was born is a good thing. And I think it's good for us to have reminders of that every year. Okay, is everybody with me? So I'm not Scrooge, okay? I'm not like, God wasn't in it, or whatever. I'm not like that. So we attach so much cultural things, though, in the world that we live in, that steals the heart of Christianity Christmas, okay? And I'm going to use a bunch of C words, okay? I'm going to be a Baptist preacher right now with a lot of C words, okay? And they all, they're going to be brilliant. You're going to love them. You're going to write them down, okay? Here we go. I don't know if that's true. But here is the way today that I believe the enemy is trying to cancel Christmas. And the first one is the one we all know. It's the capital C, COVID-19, right? Like, he's trying to cancel Christmas with COVID. And don't get together. Don't go to church. Don't get together with family. Like, don't do anything normal, right? That's what we're being told. And I know COVID is a real thing. I mean, our staff has had it. I didn't get it, even though, I'll stop. My wife had it, but I never got it. Our kids never got it. It's just a weird, weird thing, right? This whole COVID thing is a weird, weird thing. We all got to the other side of it. You already know my stats, right? Actually, the more people who get COVID, the death rate goes lower and lower and lower. So it's like 99.99994% survive COVID, okay? And yet we're all like, no, we're all going to die, right? So like, I believe the enemy has used fear to steal Christmas from us. And I think he's used it to separate, how do I be careful with this one? Maybe I shouldn't be careful. Should I be careful? No, I'm not going to be careful. God has used COVID, but I think the enemy has used COVID to pull people who thought they were Christians away from the church. And they use excuses, because any excuse will do whenever you aren't really pulled into or drawn into what Christ is up to, right? So like a little slush on the road means, maybe I won't go to church today. Or maybe I won't log on today. Or maybe, you know. Like, when any excuse you'll do, the enemy's like, well, that's an easy one. I know what to do in their life. Boom. And I just slowly slide them away from the body of Christ, right? So Satan uses COVID to pull people away from the body of Christ, from Christ himself, and in the season of Christmas. I believe he's using it to steal Christmas. And it ticks me off. Commercialism. First one's COVID. Second one's commercialism. Satan uses commercialism to steal Christmas. And that's been going on for years, right? If I go back to the 40s and 50s, the moment there was a Christmas commercial on a television, it was over. I gotta have that! You know, it's like, and like, I remember growing up in the 80s, like, the Sears Christmas wish book. Anybody remember the Sears Christmas wish book? I mean, that was my life when I was a kid at Christmas. Like, who's Jesus? I don't know. Roll control car, right? Like, it's like commercialism is all about selling you something to make a profit for somebody else. That's business, right? And there needs to be business for economies to run. Not against business, not against economies, not against you buying stuff, okay? But when it takes over Christmas and Christ is set aside from it, the enemy has done his job. It's become about buying, getting, hustle, bustle, commercialism. Complacency is the third C. Satan uses complacency to steal Christmas. Because when you get to the heart of Christmas, it's the fact that Jesus sent a Messiah. Or God sent a Messiah for us, a Savior for us, right? And what complacency says is like, well, okay. Complacency is like, I'm comfortable with just like knowing about it, but not really experiencing it, right? Complacency says, it might be important to you, but it's not really important to me. And complacency actually keeps us in our seat. And never pushes us to grow, right? Complacency keeps us in our same circles and cycles in life. I think Satan uses that to steal Christmas, to steal what Christ has done for us. Okay, y'all with me? Am I offending everybody? Awesome. COVID, commercialism, complacency, comfort is the fourth C. Ooh, who loves some comfort, right? Do you know what comfort is? Comfort is the thing that you go to avoid the things you don't want to do. That's what comfort is, right? Like when we get to this season, so I already know in COVID, we have somebody who works at a store and was in charge of like all the alcohol and beer sales, and I've been having conversations with him about that over COVID. He's like, oh my gosh, sales have been like crazy when COVID kicked in, and I'm guessing during Christmas it's not going down, right? Maybe some of you are getting together with family, and you're like, I kind of wish I had an excuse not to, you know, because it's like you need something to cope. The thing that brings you comfort is something just to help you relax a little bit, or a cigarette is a huge comfort, right? This is crazy in this house. I got to go and smoke for a couple minutes, right? Like we use all sorts of things for comfort, or Hallmark movies. Oh, dear Jesus, Lord, help me, right? Like some of you use Hallmark movies as your own comfort, and you get so comfortable in your Hallmark movies that you forget there's a real world out here, and it's like Jesus over here, Hallmark movies over here. I'm just saying, I don't think that was God's plan for the world. All right? I'm getting some hate email today, all right? My whole point is comfort. We choose to comfort ourselves with things to distract us from the real things in our life. And the enemy uses that at Christmas especially, right? He's stealing Christmas by us choosing our own comfort over truth, comfort over change, comfort over really walking into the gospel. Why we needed a Messiah to begin with. COVID, commercialism, complacency, comfort, convenience. All right, convenience. These kind of blend in a little bit, like complacency, comfort, and convenience, right? This has been the year of probably online shopping more than any, right? Tony, our elder, just, you know, he's a UPS driver. I would say any of the delivery drivers, anybody that comes to your house right now, just show them extra grace, love, and be the person that has a Gatorade on your front porch, right? Like, be the one that, like, just shows them love. Why? Because they are doing what you don't want to, which is going to the store, right? Like, they are saving your butt from walking into stores. That's all I'm going to say. And it's certain stores so that you can just have convenience, right? We choose convenience for so many things in life. Actually, I think 2021 in the future, in the next generations, convenience is going to be an idol. It already has become one, but I think convenience, like just ordering something, sitting in your car, having to put in your back of your car, and then driving off. I don't have to talk to anybody. I don't have a relationship with anybody. I don't have to see anybody. Like, our convenience is going to steal Christmas because we're not going to see anybody to say Merry Christmas, right? So like, convenience puts us in places that steals what Christmas is really all about. All right. Anybody ready for the last one? This is the most offensive one. All right. The last one is Claus. First name Santa. Is it getting hot in here? Saint Nicholas was a godly man who tried to bring truth. He actually, like, when you read his history, he fought for biblical truth against the church and against other people who were trying to change and argue about the Word of God. Like, Saint Nicholas was awesome. Okay? What we've made him to be, not so much. Okay? I feel bad for him because it's like his whole history is like, no, that's not you. You're this fat guy with a beard, like, that climbs down our chimneys and doesn't burn his butt, however that works, right? Like, I'm not trying to... This is what I'm saying. I'm trying to be careful as I talk about this. But here's what I know, is that the enemy uses that to steal the true story of Christ and Christmas. We believe in mythology. We spend more time with our elves on the shelves and our Santas and our than we do telling our families about Christ. Messiah, the gift that matters most. This is a tricky one. This is the most offensive one, and I know that. But it's because I love you that I speak truth to you. Satan has used all sorts of things in our lives to steal all sorts of things from our lives. His goal is not for your good. His goal is not for your peace. His good is not for, His goal is not for your joy, is not for your hope. And we choose things that steal all of those things and bring lesser things, right? The enemy tried to cancel the first Christmas and is still trying to cancel it today. So, what's my challenge? Keep Christ the center of Christmas in your home. As Christians, I'm talking to the Christians. Maybe you're not a Christian this morning. Maybe you're here and you're like, boy, he's going hard on this stuff. Like, this isn't like the baby Jesus, you know, kind of a thing. Like, this is like, we're going deep into this, right? And I want us as Christians to keep Christ in the middle of it. For me, there's no happy holidays unless you say Christmas and New Year's. I get it, right? If that's what you're doing. But for me, Christ is in the center of my Christmas. I'm grateful. So, so grateful that he chose to send his son to this broken, messy world. Not that anyone in this world ever deserved it, but that he loved us so much that he did it. He has come for us, this Messiah, the Savior of the world. And last point, nothing can thwart the plans of God. No matter what the enemy tries to do, no matter how he tries to steal things from our lives, no matter what he wants to do, Herod's plan did not work. Jesus was born, and he lived, right? Nothing can thwart the plans of God. So I'm challenging us during the season to choose to trust God and live with his hope, his joy, and his peace, because his plans will never fail. When we choose to walk in the boundaries, in the guardrails he sets up for our life, that's what the scriptures are all about. That's what he gives us. Here's the guardrails for life, for you to live into the promises God has for you. When we choose as Christians to start walking and living in those guardrails, he says, yep, my promise is inside those guardrails. And then when we start hopping over the guardrail out into the wild, he's like, my promises aren't over there. I mean, there's going to be consequences to jumping the rail. And some of you are going to have some big wrecks in your life because you've jumped the rail, right? But here's the good news, guys. All he says is just climb back over the guardrail. I've been here the whole time, and I'm actually calling you back. His grace doesn't end when you jump off the guardrail. Like, nothing can thwart the plans of God. Even my own stupidity at times. God can bring that back and now use it for good for somebody else. I'm telling you, man, when I write a book, you'll hear all the stories of what God has done in my life. And the thing is, the most powerful ones are some of the deepest valleys I've ever had to go through. Because he meets us in the valleys and he grows us to the peaks. And the peaks are just the moment to praise. And then there will be another valley at some point. But because I experienced him in the one before and I celebrated with him on the peak of life, he's going to be with me in the next valley. And his plans will never be thwarted in my life. Now, this is what I want to encourage you with. As a church, we're starting 2021 probably way more intentionally than we ever have. You know, for us as a church, we always do a season together of 21 days of prayer and fasting. In January. We're going to do that again. I think it's January 10th through the 31st is what we're going to be doing. So if you want to mark your calendars, get ready for that. You know, we're jumping in today as a whole church together. But through the month of January and March, we want to give you some secrets. Ooh, anybody like secrets? Because this is what we're going to give you. I think we have a slide, okay? This next series we're starting in January. It's called The Secrets to Thrive in 2021, okay? The Secrets to Thrive in 2021. And here's the amazing thing. They're not really secrets. Like, God's already spoken them to us. We have everything we need to thrive, right? And it's not 2021 that's going to make us thrive. It's what God told us to do and how to live that makes us thrive, right? And so what we're going to talk about is some of the spiritual disciplines that are those guardrails for our life. We're going to talk about the ways we can be emotionally healthy and spiritually healthy in 2021 so that we can see these promises happen in our lives. Experience more peace, more joy, more hope, okay? So I'm going to encourage you when we get back together January 3rd, we kick off the series, get ready. Get ready, because I'm not allowing Satan to steal 2021 from me. Are you? Let's not let him. Let's live into God's promises to thrive, okay? So God, thank you for this word. This is a challenging one. And I didn't know how it was going to go, but Holy Spirit, you did. And you know what each of us need to hear. And so I trust you right now, God, that you will speak to each of us however you want to. You're going to say what you need to say so that we can grow and change and we can truly celebrate you during this season. For all of us in the room, here's the bottom line, okay? Bottom line right here. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, which I once was. The question is, are you? Are you lost? Or have you been found by Christ? Is the enemy stealing, killing, and destroying your life? Or has salvation come and God's peace, joy, and hope entered in? If you don't know Jesus the way I'm talking about him, you can know him that way today. We read in the book of Romans that if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, he died and he rose again, you'll be saved, right? You get to walk into these promises and walk into that relationship with Jesus. If this is you today, I'm saying pray to him today. Cross the line. Ask him to enter into your life. Ask for forgiveness. And ask him to give you his promises, to fill you with peace that only comes because of what he did over 2,000 years ago to bring a Savior. For all of us in this room, if you are a Christian and you have tasted that peace, but you know you're letting the enemy steal it from you at Christmas, I just ask you the question, what is stealing it? What's the enemy using in your life to steal it? Is he using COVID, commercialism, complacency, comfort, convenience, clause? Like, what is he using in your life to take Christ out of Christmas? And play his game and say, nope, not today, Satan. That's a really cool t-shirt, by the way. Not today, Satan. I'm going to keep Jesus in the middle of it and right in the middle of my heart. That's my challenge to all of us. But today, if you want to accept Christ in your life, I'm going to pray in just a moment for all of us. But if you want to accept Christ, I'm going to pray a prayer that you can pray to God. And I say it's not a magical prayer that the pastor says. It's your own confession, your own belief that Jesus is who he said he is and he's done what he said he's done. And you invite him into your heart and life, okay? And so why don't we take that time and pray right now? All of us in this room, and maybe those of you who are Christians, you know somebody who needs that, you be praying for them by name right now. But if you want to start that relationship and you want peace and the promises of God in your life and forgiveness and salvation, you can say this. You say, God, I believe you sent your son Jesus to this earth, and that he lived a perfect life, and that he died on the cross to pay for my sin, and that 3 days later he rose again to conquer death forever. Please forgive me of my sins, God. I want Jesus to enter into my heart, my life. I want your peace to come over me. I want to be with you forever and be saved. And I invite the Holy Spirit to come in and start working in my life. God, thank you for doing this for me, sending your son. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And God, for all of us in this room, teach us, show us, reveal to us, Holy Spirit, where we need to grow and change so that we can live in your promises without hindrance, and we can attack the enemy. We can attack the enemy by having our spiritual armor on, by understanding his ways so that when he does attack, we see it, and that we can be walking in truth and in your word in such a way that they just reflect right off of us. Help us be that type of people as we move into this new year. And I just ask this in Christ's name. Everybody said amen? Amen. Awesome. Tony's going to come up and just wrap us up this morning.